This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network, and DraftKings, of course, as we welcome back our three on a Wednesday and the triumphant return of professional bettor Scott Spritzer. So we say hi, I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. Of course, Scott Spritzer, you can find him, Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. I want to hear about your trip, but would you guys like to fill me in on the drama during the break on the baseball game? We start, Dustin and Scott, let's go.
Yeah, so we're on the Diamondbacks, over five runs on the road against Patrick Corbin. They are one of the best teams in all of baseball against left-handed pitching this year, and Corbin is awful. I mean, you look at what the opponents have put up against him over the last few games. It's like 7 runs, 10 runs. Like, everyone's going over five when he starts against them. And then I went to the restroom and came back, saw bases loaded, 2 outs and a runner on, and I got excited. And Scott basically said, cool your jets. You have no idea what you just missed. And what did I miss, Scott?
Well, you got bases loaded because of walks to start the inning. So bases loaded, nobody out. So Corbin's about ready to do what he does. And remember, this guy has a 6.23 ERA at home, and he's also got a 6.85 xERA overall, as you mentioned. I mean, this team is 14-41 the last 55 times he's been priced at plus 100 or an underdog. So
it's a holiday when he pitches.
It is. It's just take, like I've said before, you go against him or you play the over in every game he pitches, or you stay away from the game. I actually played the first 5 innings minus half a run here. You know I didn't play on him, so you know who I got.
Yeah.
So anyway, bases loaded. He's just walking guys left and right. He can't find the zone. Next batter comes up. He gets one strike against him, and he decides to swing, and he hits it to the shortstop, who knocked it down and was able to throw the runner out at home, about an inch away from being a two-run shot. And then next guy comes up and he walks. He's smart, takes pitches, fourth walk in the inning, got a run. Next two guys came up and it's a strikeout. One swung at 2 balls. The other one came up. He didn't strike out, but he's swinging away and he pops one up to foul territory along first base. So it's just amazing. I get it when a guy's really struggling and can't find the plate and he puts guys on base more than one via the walk. You're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I got it. He's going to throw a fastball right down the pipe. I get it. But sometimes you let a guy, you know, you don't, he digs himself a 10-foot hole. You don't throw him a shovel. You know what I mean? Don't throw him a ladder, I should say.
At that point, you're nibbling for runs when you can have an explosion, right?
Absolutely. He walks another guy or two. You're up 2-0.
Yeah,
have fun with him.
You're playing desperate, thinking you're only going to score 2 runs that inning when there's a chance he's so inaccurate, so wild, can't locate, and the pressure's on. All of a sudden, this is a 5-6-run inning.
Yeah, and it's not like this is, you know, maybe, let's say, Yamamoto having a bad inning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a guy who struggles every time he takes the mound since they won the World Series a few years ago. It's just pathetic hitting. And if I'm the manager, I'm looking to the hitting coach and saying, what the heck are you doing?
Well, that's what I was just about to say, the same thing. This is a team in the Diamondbacks that were in the World Series last year. I didn't even see it.
No.
And just knowing from a little league perspective, swinging in that spot is insanity.
I'll tell you what, I was texted back and forth the last few minutes before the break, before he came up here, and I'm texted back and forth with our buddy Dave Koken, and I'm like, why are they swinging? Why are they swinging?
Honestly,
this is ridiculous.
These teams do some, like, I had a bet on the Brewers last week where they were coming back in the ninth against the Reds. It was Friday, I want to say. With 2 out and the tying run at third, the batter, after they plated runs, had a run thrown out at home plate. He thought he was going to bunt for a game-winning hit with 2 outs, and the game ended.
It's amazing.
These teams make the weirdest decisions.
Yep. And right, hopefully we'll get Corbin here in the top of the fifth and add a run or two. But
well,
anyway.
You laid the half, so you're doing
that's
well,
the way to do it.
We need one more inning. Yeah.
I'm just going to knock on some wood here. We've got plenty to get to. You've got a ton of baseball. You've got WNBA, you've got the NHL, which is fascinating, but we should start here. Welcome back. And Scott Spritzer just took his family to Disneyland, which is always an experience. How'd it go?
It was terrific. We got there on Monday night. We did the downtown Disney thing. We finally remembered to make reservations for the Italian joint at downtown Disney. Really nice meal. And then spent the next 3 days, man, just hanging out in Orange County. Tuesday, Wednesday, I got to tell you guys this. Now, here's my deal. Here's my travel to work. Okay, I wake up in my bedroom. I take about 25 steps to my office. All right, that's my normal day of travel when it comes to working. Now, that means I do have to walk downstairs sometimes, so maybe another 20 steps per time that I get up from the office chair. Once in a while, I got to do shows, and I come down here, and I walk a little bit more. We walked over 40,000 steps in 2 days at Disneyland, according to my phone here. I looked it up. That's the equivalent of 20 miles in 2 days.
I think the phone actually undersells it, too.
Do they?
I think it might have been more than that.
So at least 20
miles. 40,000 steps?
It registered like 21,000 the first day and a little over 19,000 the second day. And, and the daughter's phone was the same for her. So
yeah, it's like a walk from here to home, basically.
Well, it's 20 miles in 2 days. So, listen, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I'm, old as dirt, and yet I walked 20 miles in 2 days. And she got me to do this by, she scoped out that Disneyland and California Adventure Park food. Oh, my gosh. It's so undervalued, or underrated, I should say.
Really?
Unbelievable. If you know where to shop, and if one of you guys ever goes, I got the list right here for my daughter on my phone, and I'll send it to you. We used to be all about the rides, but now we're all about the food with rides in between. But 20 miles in 2 days. And then Thursday.
Hey, that's good for you.
Oh, it's great for you, especially if you're not, 30 pounds overweight like I am. I know it's supposed to. I thought that would be the catalyst. Okay, I'm going to start walking every day. I think I walked about 148 steps on Friday back home.
Yeah. How'd you feel, though, after that first day where you go to lay down at the hotel or wherever?
Well, here's what I did. Usually I'll have one of my guys that I talk to doing my plays. Well, my daughter and I, my wife stayed in Vegas. My daughter and I, we get there about 11 o'clock in the morning. We stay till the park closes every time we go. So we get back to the hotel about 12:30 in the morning. And I got my laptop and my notes and all that kind of stuff. And I decided I was going to work, do my own stuff anyway, even though I was out of town. So I worked till about 3:30, quarter to 4, both nights. We're back at the park at 11 a.m. the next day. So it was it was pretty serious. But trust me, the weekend I slept, and I slept a lot. And Woodford Reserve, was my buddy on Saturday. So,
well, you won. I'm sure your daughter would agree. You won Dad of the Year for doing that. There's no doubt about
it. The cool thing about it, she doesn't even want her boyfriend going anymore when we go to Disneyland. She leaves him out of town in college, and she's like, he kind of holds us back. He's been with us before. He kind of holds us back. So we'll go and. We don't get held back.
Oh, she's on a mission.
Oh, that's her place, man. 20 years old, it's still her place. She'll be taking her kids there when she's 50.
She's dialed in.
You'll be taking her kids there. Who are you kidding?
Well, when she's 50, I probably won't be doing VSiN shows and going to Disneyland.
40,000 steps later, he's back. Speaking of being back, the Edmonton Oilers. So we are we're a big Panthers show, and we thought they were the much better team after three games that came to fruition, and then all of a sudden the Connor McDavid show has happened. This is becoming fascinating.
I still think the Panthers are the better team. I'm with you guys. I thought they'd win this series in six. They can still do it. But, boy, they got to get it together here. They were shaky, if you guys watched the game early last night, and they had that stretch of about, 4 minutes where they gave up a couple of goals, which turned out to be the deciding factor in the game. They also committed a bunch of penalties, 5. You cannot give the Edmonton Oilers 5 power play opportunities. They scored on 2 of those. And I was going back and I was looking at what Florida did previous to these last 2 games that they've lost. Here's what they've done. They've given up 11 power play opportunities the last 2 games against one of the best power plays in the history of the NHL. They had allowed 10 power play opportunities for the first 3 games combined, and a total of 22 power play opportunities through 9 games, 6 against the Rangers, first 3 here against Edmonton. So basically just 2 a game. Now they're giving up 5.5 power play opportunities a game the last 2. They got to play with discipline. They can't leave Bobrovsky out there to defend on his own. But I looked at last night's game, other than those 4 minutes in the second period, there was a stretch where they had a 25-4 shots on goal run. They won the faceoff battle 37-25. How about the hits? 44-16. Edmonton's not going to out-hit you. You're normally going to win these faceoffs with the people that Florida has taking faceoffs. You're going to normally land with more shots on goal than this team in the series. You just can't make dumb moves like they did in committing those penalties. So I'm going to back the Panthers again on Friday, guys. I had them last night. I actually laid a goal and a half so I didn't have to.
We did, our buddy Aaron Halterman did too.
Oh, trust did he? Me. Okay.
We were all over that. I like your breakdown. The Bobrovsky angle here is starting to get a little trouble.
Oh. It's scary because he did it last year against the Golden Knights. You know, you had that bad run against them,
Scott.
So that's the scary part. Won't be laying a run at, a goal and a half here. It'll be plus $1.10 or so on the money line.
Yeah, he ran out of gas last year against VGK, but he gave up, four goals through three games of this series, and then now all of a sudden, there really is something scary about the downhill nature of McDavid right now.
Oh, my gosh. You know, he's just playing again. That's what you wanted to see if you're a fan of just hockey and not betting on this, and you're a fan of McDavid or just a fan of great hockey again. I mean, he's about to tie that Gretzky record, right? And come close to it. I know that. But anyways, I think Florida's the better team. They got to stay out of the penalty box in this game.
Yeah, and it's not great when we were all Panthers backers when it starts with a shorthanded goal the other way.
Exactly.
Not great.
Yep.
And that's where it kind of felt like a bad omen last night. But they have been, along with the Dallas Stars, the best team on the road this year in the NHL. So I think the pressure's on Edmonton game six. It squarely is on the Panthers if it goes back to a game seven.
Totally agree. You know, they've still got to win to survive, which Florida doesn't. But then if they get back home, blow out a 3-0 lead, boy, they're going to feel the pressure. But I think the Edmonton Oilers have to feel the pressure in this one.
100%. All right. Scott Spritzer is back. Remember, you can check out the picks over at Doc Sports, docsports.com. Give Scott a follow on Twitter at Scott Wins with two T's. We've got plenty to do. There you have it. Plus money on the Panthers coming up on Friday. We'll get into the baseball next. Sharp money.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSiN.com, your best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. Check them all out at VSiN.com. The boys are sweating the gnats and the snakes as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson, Scott Spritzer, professional bettor, Doc Sports, docsports.com, handicapper. You've got a bunch of baseball today, Scott, but let's just start with an overview, and I'll start with the NL. So your division leaders are Philly, the Dodgers, and the Brewers. Your NL wildcard right now sets up like this. Atlanta, Arizona, and St. Louis are in. Arizona and St. Louis are both 36 and 37. Then you have four teams a half a game back of the wildcard. San Diego, Pittsburgh, the Mets, and Washington. San Francisco's a game back of the wild card. The Cubs are a game back of the wild card. Cincinnati's a game and a half back. This is a crazy league right now.
Yeah, and if you're the Cardinals, you're not going to get there with Marmol as their manager. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's
not going to happen. We've talked about that. I just don't like this guy at all. So it's a situation of the players are playing, you know, above their skis right now, and Marmol's not going to direct them to a win. Of the teams you mentioned, you know, I'm looking at just some of the run differentials. Cardinals are minus 39, yet they're in second place in the NL Central. The Pirates bother me because, well, for one thing, they always seem to let up in the second half of the season. They're like second or third from the bottom of the league in strikeouts per game. I played a prop against them. Was it yesterday? I can't remember the opposing pitcher now, but over 6.5 strikeouts. They struck out 8 times. So every time they go up against a guy who at least has as many strikeouts or close to it as innings pitched or around that neighborhood, you got a good chance that the Pirates are not going to do much damage until that starting pitcher is out of the game. So for that reason, I don't think they get there. You've got San Diego. They're going to be in the mix. I like their run differential. It's better than Arizona's, who's right now just ahead of them in second in the West. I would think that, of course, the Braves, they suffered the big injury to Acuna. They got to make up for that. They've won 3 or 4 in a row now going into today's games. And then the Mets, they're right there winning 7 in a row. You know, I'm watching the game last night. Actually, I had a play on the Mets, and I'm thinking, I'm out of this one. It's 6-2 or whatever. Big 5 spot put up by the other team in the 5th inning, I believe it was. And I had a full game bet because Texas's bullpen is so bad. And then you just watch this team with their belief. They just come up like it's no big deal, and they win the game 7-6. Of course, they were against a bad bullpen, but that's a team that can get it together. But Atlanta's the best team that's not leading right now overall. That's easy to say. They're 10 games above 500. I just think the Cards and the Pirates and probably the Reds are the three outs. The Reds, I think, have a better chance than the Redbirds or the Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right, you mentioned the Mets. Everything going right. You met last night was a wild ride. So I guess philosophically, there are some people who see a streak happen and they want to jump on it and bet on it. And there's other people who say, hold on, let me find the spot where the streak ends and they're going to be overvalued and I can come back on the other side. What's your normal approach there?
I don't. When you get a team that's won more than three games in a row, I don't try to predict when they're going to lose, especially when it gets up five, six, seven games in a row. And, you know, that's like I said, the Mets last night. I mean, when you're on a win streak like that, five, six, seven, eight games, it just seems like you always have a chance because your confidence is on high. I don't try to predict when they're going to lose, but I will say this with the New York Mets. Are they going to be there at the end? Probably not. Because overall, I've got my doubts about the Mets. But right now, they're just playing extremely good baseball. But, you know, back to your question, it's one of those things where I don't try to predict when a team's going to lose on a big winning streak. But I tell you what, if they get to like 10 and they lose, I'll be looking to go against them the very next game, as we all tend to do.
It's so hard with baseball because so much is schedule dependent. The Mets had one of the hardest Aprils in all of baseball.
Yes.
A lot of really good contending teams. It's going to lighten up a lot. Before the All-Star break at the end of July, and or the month of July, they'll have the Nats for seven before the All-Star break. They'll have the Pirates for four and the Rockies for three right before the break. They could really put themselves in a great position. Then the second half opens. In August, they've got Miami. They've got the White Sox. They've got the Angels. We're talking about some of the worst teams in baseball who are also going to sell off pieces. I hate this team. I despise this team. But I cannot stop myself from getting excited. I think they are going to fight till the end for that last wild card spot.
You know the one thing I don't like about this team is, you know, I'm just looking at their pitching numbers right now. And just to confirm what I was thinking, they've got one guy, one starter, and I'm talking about starters who've actually pitched more than, 25 innings. They've got one starter right now, Luis Severino, with a whip under .130. That's it. So they're on this run, but yet they don't have great starting pitching from the guys who are actually going to get out there, the top five, six, seven guys on the roster. And that worries me a little bit. You look at their, top three starting pitching whips, 120, 137, 132, and after that it gets worse, as far as the guys who eat up innings.
And Senga hasn't thrown a pitch, and we don't know if Kodai Senga will throw a pitch all year.
Yep.
All right, now we switch over to the AL, two division leaders, and we'll start here, Scott, with the handicap in Seattle. Is at Cleveland tonight with Cleveland laying a price here?
Yeah, I actually jumped on this at plus 125 first five innings on the Seattle Mariners, and this is one of those things where I try not to predict when a team is going to have their winning streak snapped. They reach four wins in a row, and they just seem to believe, all out of the Mets last night. The thing is, both of these starters, I'm a deep metrics guy when it comes to baseball, and that's why I end up playing a lot of first five innings because I'm really into the starting pitching. Both of these guys have outstanding stuff plus location plus pitching plus metrics. Both guys are all above average when it comes to those metrics, all those metrics across the board. Wu hasn't allowed a single run in four of his six starts, which is crazy. They've won all six, Seattle, of his starts. He's got a .182 xERA. Crazy, crazy good 2% barrel rate, which is nuts. He just keeps it off the barrel of the opposing bats. You look at Cleveland, they're outside the top 20 in Major League Baseball and stuff like OPS, weighted runs created plus at home going back to May 1st. And then I was looking at, Tanner Beebe, and he's not quite as hot his last eight starts as he was early on. 4.29 ERA since early May, 4.62 ERA on his home bump. And they were betting Cleveland this morning like they already had the final score. I mean, they were just hammered away. But I'm going to go first five innings on the Mariners in this one.
Yesterday, too, by the way, Scott. Yesterday, Ramirez gets activated, and I bet Seattle the night before at minus 110. They end up going off at plus 110, I want to say. How much in baseball, with how weird it is, it's every day, you don't know how much money's being put on a lot of these games to move these markets, how much concern do you have when you see the steam move against you?
I'm just not concerned.
Don't care.
And it doesn't mean I'm going to win or I think, I'm better than the line move or anything like that. It's just if I like a game, I'm playing it. And, you know, sometimes I feel better off if everybody's moving against me rather than
sure.
with me.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's a situation where I just, you know, as long as I'm ahead or in a better situation than the line move, it just doesn't fluster me at all, you know. After all these years of doing this, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've seen it all. Two teams not close to leading anything. Houston, of course, the Astros and the White Sox. Brown v. Crochet in Chicago, Scott.
All right, I have to start by saying that this was minus -115 in the first five last night on Crochet when I sent some of the games to Dustin. It's as high as -135 last I saw. Now, maybe it's come down a little bit first five innings. I don't really recommend laying -135, -140. It's just not my style. And I probably would have stayed off it at this price, maybe put a couple of dollars on it. Hunter Brown has pitched well for the most part, but his team has only won four of his 13 starts. And he's really struggled on the road. It was kind of eye-opening to me about a week ago when I started really digging into Houston's pitching stats to see if I wanted to jump on this team as the season progresses. And if you look at Brown, I mean, he's given up 45 base runners and 24 and two-thirds on the road. ERA almost 7. Opponents batting average almost .320. Walks a bunch of batters. Too many on the road. So I look at Crochet and how good he's done. Believe it or not, guys, the Sox are 6-0-2 in the first five innings of his last eight starts. Those eight opponents in those eight starts have scored a grand total of 5 runs in the first five innings throughout that run. I'm going to back him. I backed him here, Crochet and the White Sox in the first five innings. They were minus -115, probably a little bit higher now if you're looking at this game.
Nice. Big guy, you were on Crochet today too.
I bet a Brown prop, but I bet Crochet this week 19-1 for Cy Young. Scott,
nice.
As long as he doesn't get traded to the National League,
yeah.
I think this is real at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's so dominant. You have to wonder how the White Sox didn't see him as a starter, right?
Sure.
Like, earlier when they thought they could win a couple the last couple of years. Now they move him to the rotation. And now I think that they do have to trade him. Hopefully it's to an American League team for the sake of my bet. But I think his numbers in the end are going to stack up and be, like, astronomically, like, eye-popping because he's striking so many guys out.
This is a team that's, what, 13-23 at home. They've won, like, 7 of 38 on the road. And Crochet, with him, the last eight starts, they're 6-2 full game, 6-0-2 first five innings. I mean, he's going to be on the trade blocks when it comes around. And
has to be.
You know, before the trade deadline.
And one last thing is the Astros' bats have not been as good against lefties as they notoriously are.
Yeah.
I think the White Sox are live tonight because they have such a big pitching edge. I'm not betting it, but if you wanted to, I would not argue full game either.
Yeah, you got to trade them. I think the Skubal conversation is fascinating, too, what the Tigers are going to end up doing with Tarek Skubal. Okay, we're going to continue with Scott. We're going to come back Toronto and Boston, Milwaukee, Angels. We've got plenty to do. Also, WNBA as we continue on a Wednesday here. Sharp Money, DraftKings, and VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro, 13 months, $199, a great deal. You get a free month, VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP. You're going to get the picks, you're going to get the splits, you're going to get the guides, you're going to get everything we offer. Become part of the family, VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code SHARP. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Wednesday, Scott Spreitzer is here, professional bettor. Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins on Twitter with two T's. And we're going to get back into the baseball. Scott, a good start, picks up a dub, laying a half a run with the Diamondbacks first five, 1-0 bottom six. Big guy, you still got a little time to get your team total over on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, look, baseball is one of those weird things. You can have the right read, but maybe choose the wrong avenue to exploit it. And there's a chance that I did that today on the road with Arizona, although they had an opportunity with the bases loaded. So technically the handicap was right. They just didn't do their part. That's all.
That's right.
Bad luck. Bad luck in the fourth. If you got, you know, the over there with Zona. No doubt about it.
I totally agree. Bello and Gausman tonight in Toronto. Boston, who's trying to sniff out a wild card here. Toronto, they're not. What are you doing with this one, Scott?
Yeah, Price has been kind of inching up in some shops. I'm not a Bello fan. He's got nice overall metrics, but not of late. He's been knocked all over the place his last six starts. 24 earned runs, 54 base runners, 31 and a third innings pitched. He's got five starts in his career against the Jays, and the Jays have knocked him all over the place. Six ERA, buck 75 whip. And Gausman, you know, he's actually pitched well against Boston. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Gausman is having a great year. He's absolutely not. But Bello evens out where Gausman struggles, at the very least. And also, you know, Bello's averaging 1.74 home runs per nine innings pitched away from home. Plus, we got the better defensive team here when we talk about Toronto. Saw somewhere today they got 50 defensive runs saved on the season. Boston has the better pen, so you know what I'm doing here. First five innings, minus half a run on Toronto.
Beautiful. You got anything on that one, big guy?
Yeah, Bayo against the Blue Jays has been really bad. As Scott mentioned, five career starts. He's got a six ERA. He's averaging less than five innings a start, a 1.75 whip, just one quality start. They see him well. They hit him well. That's the only way I'd look at this or the over on the game.
Let's keep going. Where you were not too long ago, Orange County, Milwaukee, and Peralta at Anderson, the lefty. What do you have here? Milwaukee's laying a price.
It's going to be very rare when I back the Halos this season, and so I'm not backing him here. Once again, I'm going first five. Brewers minus half a run, minus a buck 15. I do play a lot of these first five-inning bets these days and have done well since probably 70 to 75% of my bets now in baseball are first five. I thought about going full game because the Brewers' bullpen is so much better than the Angels, but then I was looking back the last three games, and Milwaukee's been kind of busy out of the pen the last three games, especially last night. But we have a case of one pitcher in Peralta, in this case, above average in deep metrics, you know, stuff plus, pitching plus, location plus. He's above average in all three categories, and he's going up against a pitcher in Tyler Anderson who's below average in all those three deep metrics. And those kind of matchups have actually been performing well wins and loss-wise so far this season. Interesting road stat for Peralta. How about 52 strikeouts in 43-plus innings pitched, but 21 walks? So I wish he would, you know, maybe get it under control a little bit when it comes to the amount of free passes. And then I was looking at Anderson, and you know, speaking of free passes, that ought to be his middle name when you talk about Tyler Anderson. 15 walks in his last 23 innings of work, 466 xERA. I don't like the Angels here. Their win percentage at home is 333. That's on par with the Miami Marlins going into today as the worst in baseball at home. I don't want to go full game again because that Brewers pen was taxed a little bit of late, but I do like the first five innings. And it's probably my least favorite play of all of today's games because Peralta could walk a few guys and get in trouble.
You peek ahead. You're always ahead of the game here. And Baltimore Yankees first five on Thursday, Scott.
Yeah, I'm looking at the first five in this one, but you know what I decided to do instead of jumping into that? I'm going to wait, see what happens tonight. I kind of like the over tonight, so I'll mention that instead of what I'm thinking about doing on Thursday. It is Garrett Cole's season debut, so we don't know how many pitches he's going to throw, how effective he'll be. But if you look at the last few times that he's faced Baltimore in the Bronx, he's actually been taxed a little bit. He has not pitched well against them. They beat him up for 10 earned runs, three home runs in 13 innings pitched. They scored 11 runs in the last two games he's pitched against them, and that's when he was healthy. And they're right there with New York, Philadelphia, and the Dodgers in runs scored this season when you talk about the O's. We know Cade Povich was a disaster in his only road outing thus far. I think this goes over eight runs tonight. Check the weather. Didn't check it before I came down. Haven't checked it since last night, but make sure the winds aren't blowing in any kind of significant manner.
Okay. The WNBA, you've got to play with Seattle and Vegas this evening, but just overview, how have you been doing? How much action with the WNBA? What's your take here?
I handicap it every day, looking to bet it every day, but I don't bet it every day after I get done handicapping. I would say probably 3 to 4 plays a week is what I end up in the WNBA, and we've done well over the years that I started playing it, but had a great start, fantastic start. The last 10 days or so, I'm under 500 in those 10 days. Part of the reason was I backed these aces a couple of the times in what appeared to be nice spots, and they cost me. I'm going to jump in again, guys. You could have got 5.5, late 5.5 with the aces at about 1 a.m. Pacific last night. They're as high as 7 right now as we speak, wow. And it's all about Chelsea Gray. And that's why I took the chance at 5.5. Chelsea Gray is expected to play tonight, first time since last year's finals. And, you know, 16 points a game, 7 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game last year. But she's the glue that holds this team together. They got the best player in the WNBA in Asia Wilson. But this is the person that stirs the drink, as Becky Hammond called her. She's the main ingredient to this team running its offense and playing defense at their peak. So she's supposed to be back again tonight. I looked at the last four meetings when everybody was healthy. They covered all four meetings last season and won outright. They won those games by 29 points per game on average. Last year at home, Vegas was a 20-point favorite and an 18-point favorite against Seattle. Tonight, well, last night they were 5.5. Tonight they're 7. I think the value's here on Vegas with Chelsea Gray coming back.
The only the difference between you and America is you don't need the Caitlin Clark drama to bet the WNBA. You were already betting it before all of this started to pop off, correct?
Exactly. I've been doing this now for 4 or 5 years, the WNBA. And the thing about Clark, I treat her like everybody else. If I'm on Indiana, I root for her. If I'm against Indiana, I hope she throws up a sombrero, you know, and goes 0-10. I mean, it's about me making money. They're going to make theirs, Caitlin Clark. Maybe not all of them, but Caitlin Clark will. So, yeah, I've been playing the WNBA. I love leagues that fly under the radar a little bit. CFL's another. I love leagues that play no more than four games a night. On a busy night, that'd be the WNBA. One game a day for four games in the CFL. It takes no time to handicap. You don't get beat up by information. You're just looking at 1 to 4 games a night. And it's an easy, and I don't mean easy to win, but it's an easy handicap. You know what you're looking for, and if it gets there, you bet it, and hopefully you win. CFL's the same way. I love those under-the-radar leagues that don't play a ton of games on a daily basis.
We've stayed far away from the Caitlin Clark drama on a betting program here, but I can't say the rest for the industry. There, no. Right, big guy.
I'm just shocked at how much people who care about the subject who didn't care about anything about it about 3 weeks ago.
And I, you know what? I know Angel Reese brought that stuff up on herself. I thought that was a flagrant one, but I also thought she was going for the ball. I really did.
And she, yeah, I didn't have as much of a problem.
I didn't see a big problem with that one, and Clark handled it well. She goes, that's a basketball play. You know, yeah. So bottom line is I'm in it for the money.
Yes.
I make no bones about it. And I don't care who's playing or whatever as long as it fits my handicap.
Speaking of the money, did you see what Tom Agourez, who owns the Pistons, he's giving Monty Williams $65 million to go away.
Yeah, I saw that. Well,
that's unbelievable.
It's the dream. It's the dream. I just want to be a fired coach in America, please.
You know, if I had a son, if you're a left-hander, you're going to be a pitcher because you could have just a huge ERA and you're going to make it. If I'm a coach with a son, you're going to be a dad with a son. You're going to be a coach at some level in college or pro football or basketball. And we're going to work this for you to be a coach. I got a daughter who's a coach in gymnastics, but where's she going with that, right? So they just don't pay well. And so it's a situation where, man, I mean, you could just make a ton of money for being really bad.
Oh,
just 65 has to be the record, right, boys?
It's, like, that's crazy.
$65 million, literally, to go away. That's
insane. He just bought hope in the Motor City, though. They've actually got hope, right? Yeah. I mean, you're a Pistons guy, Patrick.
Trust me, he didn't want to be there, and right. He did a horrible job last year. I just can't believe the guy ate the money.
You know what? Urban Meyer was only $50 million left on his contract.
Yeah, and I think even Jimbo at A&M wasn't that much. It was a lot, but it wasn't.
Aren't they still? Aren't they still paying Scott Frost? Who never, you know, had more than three or four wins in a season? I think so.
Were paying him. Jimbo. I don't know.
Jimbo.
I'm at $65 million.
Jimbo was 76.
That's right, 76.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he wins. But Monty Williams certainly doesn't lose.
Monty Williams is there 1 year.
Scott Spreitzer, you're the best. Safe travels next week. Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you.
Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Okay, good luck to you as well. We've got a couple of his plays over at VSiN.com/picks, and we're going to come back with the family vids and our picks for today.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money presented by DraftKings and VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out downtown at the D. He's shook right now. The snakes can't score. he's listening to voicemails while we're coming back or doing something.
I'm having a bad day. Look,
You're having a bad day, and I'm sorry for that.
I just went back and looked, and what I thought was Aaron Halterman, Sharp Money Family Play that I sent earlier today. Yeah, I did send it. I sent yesterday's video again today. So I just sent today's video. So hopefully we'll have that before the segment ends. And I tried to blame other people, and I just went and looked, and the only person to blame is myself.
Is it safe space?
Not really, but go ahead.
Dustin, when you have a play going, you're a very emotional person. Mm. When you have a play going on in the show, during the show, and it's not going well, it's not great.
Yeah.
I'll say it differently. Your mood is sucked.
Yeah.
But
hold on. My mood sucked before the Diamondbacks game even started, so you can't blame that.
I know, but I have to go back to why your mood is sucked. The Palm versus the Big Guy, bro, there have been tough ones to judge. Today wasn't it. You owe me an apology.
I owe you an apology?
Yes.
You set rules, and I played by your
rules. And if you think I'm doing shtick right now, I am not.
No. You set rules for this contest. Each question was carefully worded. I paid attention to those words. My opponent did not. I stuck by the rules of the parameters of the contest.
Fair. I have said out loud, and been doing this forever, I've said out loud, when it comes to just debating hot takes, you're much better than me. I'm not saying you're a bad debater. It's just you're going up against a psychopath.
No, he's definitely... He's going deeper into his bag for what he's bringing, especially the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it's like, let me give you an example. When I say hi to Palm, Palm sits down at the top of the second hour on Wednesdays, and he literally doesn't even say hi to us.
No.
The segment starts. It's a broadcast. This is a professional broadcast. He goes, "Hi, Patrick. Hi, Dustin. Not much going on here." Like, he doesn't even like us. We just like having him on the show.
I see what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
And then all of a sudden, we get to the segment.
It's a show.
And he lights up like a menorah, a Christmas tree. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to focus. We got to beat this guy.
Look, I don't want to keep blaming you. I would say your shot clock with him is a little more lenient than mine.
That is fair, because he's so sensitive and you're not.
I know. Okay.
I'm having a real-life conversation on the air. But you got to be careful with Palm.
But I will give you this. He is going way deeper with the research, and I'm trying not to get bogged down by stats, right? Because that's when I run into trouble, when everything for me is numbers, numbers, numbers. I have to go off opinion and story and recollection.
Yes.
And if we're being fair, wasn't great with them today. I'll be honest. It wasn't my best performance. In fact, it might have been my worst. My one caveat, though, is that I followed the rules today, and he did not.
I'll always say, when you get into stats, I tune out. When you let it fly, I find you eminently interesting. Let it fly. The boxer brief to a thong, beyond funny.
Yeah,
you heard me laugh. You just got to let it fly,
bro. I've got to go one of two ways here. I can either do the crazy research that he's doing, or
annoying.
I can do absolutely zero and open the questions as you're asking them, and just whatever comes out.
You know what? Maybe try it.
Because the hard part too is when he chooses a side, there's some I don't really believe, but I know in order to win, I'm going to have to go opposite of him.
Just know that as soon as he walked out of that studio there at the D, he texted Paul Howard, "I beat him again."
He's still gloating. He knows he's sitting three tables away right now, hanging out. I'm not kidding. He wants to see me melt down. He's hoping that him being there is going to make me lose my mind and rip my shirt off again. But I can't rip this shirt. I can't rip the buttons off.
But I'll give you credit. You're super entertaining watching you melt down.
Yeah, no, it was definitely acting and not real at all.
You're the best, Big Guy. You really are. Let's get to the family vids.
Oh, John Bowman. John Bowman, the College World Series. Omaha. Peyton Manning's favorite city in America. He yelled it a lot on national TV.
By the way, he's probably over there at the table telling that waitress not to be nice to you anymore.
He's waving at me right now, so someone must have told him we mentioned him.
Oh, you mean the little narcs on Twitter?
Yeah, yeah. John Bowman, former MLB scout, also worked at Tulane, and
it was probably Bill AD. Like, it's impossible for him to hate two people more, and he's like, they're talking about you, because AD needs the hookup at Legacy.
But sometimes talking about Pom, it's like fueling a villain in a Marvel movie. Like, the more you talk about him, the stronger he gets.
Oh, no, he loves it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
John Bowman, baseball with Bowman, former scout in the majors, loves college baseball, and he's got to play in tonight's College World Series action.
Sharp Money, family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? It's John Bowman from Baseball with Bowman here, and I just wanted to give you my favorite play for today. So we've been on a roll in college baseball, so we're going to go back to college baseball with a night game tonight. It's Texas A&M and Florida. I like Florida on the money line minus 105 against Texas A&M. So Florida has been playing well. They actually played earlier this today, and they scored 15 runs. They also, in the blowout, didn't have to use their best reliever in Brandon Neely. So with a couple days off, he's going to be very rested and ready to go. So I think that's going to make a massive difference. Florida's going to have a bit of a bullpen game to start, and then they're going to be able to go to Neely late, and he should be able to shut it down. He's been nails this entire postseason. Texas A&M, they don't really have any pitchers because of injuries. Shane Sadow, their number two guy, was hurt. So they're kind of scrambling. They're going to have to go with a bit of a bullpen game, and I don't think they're going to risk pitching all of their top pitchers in this game, knowing that they only have to win one of the next two games. So I like Florida on the money line tonight.
Florida from Bowman, who's been on fire. I have a question for you. Do I have your back?
Oh, no. It was a wild moment. Wild moment.
Palm, me, and Dustin are in the group right now just throwing freaking bombs at each other.
I'm in the corner.
I'm literally defending Dustin.
I'm in the corner watching.
I wish people could see this stuff. Anyway, my bad. But you're welcome. Do we have Alterman or no?
We don't, but I'll give you his play because I know what it is and I like it a lot. He's going to go to the Seattle Mariners against the Cleveland Guardians and get them at a plus price, plus 135 on Seattle for the plus money prince Aaron Alterman today with his Sharp Money family play.
John Goulet is currently on the case to see if Bill AD was the rat. So we shall see. You know what we like to do on Sharp Money? Have fun. Let's just be very clear. Don't take life too seriously. Have some fun. Mix it up a little bit.
I replied to the group text.
We did it!
We did it. Good job, Larry. We did it. The text, that right there is the text of the year.
All right, good. I was trying to come with something strong.
That right there was the text of the year.
Oh.
Is it Friday? What a week.
It's Wednesday. What do you mean, what a week? We're halfway done.
If you couldn't tell the way the show started and my mood, I'm kind of shook with this Oiler thing right now.
Well, it's not fun. Like, part of me wants to say it's fun because we could potentially get a full, you know, into next week content out of it. And it's our last week before vacation. It really just helps set up the beginning of the week. But then there's another part of me that doesn't want to see Canada win the cup. I think it's just my favorite troll of all time is that Canada hasn't won since 93. The state of Florida is about to get their fourth in that time. It's my favorite fact there is.
Yeah. Yep. Look, the bottom line is, you know, hate me. That's fine. Mm. You can never say I'm not an A-plus troll.
No.
Sausage or pepperoni was funny, though.
Yeah, it is. There's one.
All right, we got a minute left in the program. We've given out a million bets with our friends and our guests. Feinberg gave out a bunch. The tank is empty, so you got anything to take us out here?
Well, we mentioned players to win the Conn Smythe on the losing team. Glenn Hall in 68, Reggie Leach in 76, Ron Hextall 87, Jean-Sebastien Giguère in 2003 for the Ducks. And then finally, Halterman used a phrase which makes sense because he loves Oklahoma. Circle the wagons. Circle the wagons. It was brought about in the 19th century. Historically, the term was used to describe a defensive maneuver which was employed by people, Americans, in the 19th century, and it means a group rallying together.
It's like saying pull up your britches. It was a very old man term, but I just wasn't in the mood to call anybody out then.
Well, no.
Check your text, because I have a feeling they could be getting spicy. We'll see you tomorrow.